May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus put forth a parable to those who were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms. Muhammad Ali once said, "I'm so great, I can't be humble." That's a far cry from what Bishop Fulton Sheen said in one of his broadcast sermons. "Humility for the Christian is like underwear. You should always wear it, but you should never let it show." And also a far cry from C.S. Lewis, who said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." The scribes and the Pharisees in our gospel were not world champion heavyweight boxers, but they shared Muhammad Ali's problem with conceit. Let me remind you of Aesop's fable about the fox and the raven. One day, a hungry fox was walking down the road. All of a sudden, he spied a raven perched high in a tree. In its beak, the raven held a round of cheese, the size of a baked apple. The fox licked his lips. "Oh, how I wish I could taste that cheese." But what was the fox to do? The raven was on a high branch, and foxes can't climb trees. He knew that if he could coax the raven down to the ground, he could certainly beat the raven in a fight for the cheese. But even if he did coax the raven down to the ground, the fight would never happen, because as soon as he approached, the raven would fly away. So the wily fox devised a plan. He fixed his eyes on the raven and said, "What a beautiful bird you are. I've never seen such a perfect gloss as your sleek black feathers. Oh, and the elegant curve of your neck, and what a noble beak. I'll wager you are holding that cheese as in a pair of pincers. I think you are the finest bird I have ever seen, and I'm sure that when you sing like a nightingale." The silly bird was delighted by the fox's speech. It was sure its feathers were stunning, and its neck gracious, and its beak handsome, and it would show that fox just how beautifully it could sing. And so it opened its beak, and the cheese fell to the ground, where the fox snapped it up and was off and away. The raven was left to sit there stunned. Its mouth was wide open, and it looked the perfect fool. It was the victim of its pride. In the gospel today, Jesus had been watching the people arrive at a feast in the leading Pharisee's home. No guidance had been given as to where they should sit, and so, in their arrogance, they chose the very best seats, the ones closest to the host. They were sure that was where they deserved to sit. Jesus gave some sobering advice. When you go to parties, do not presume to choose the best seats. You'll be asked to move if someone more important than you arrives, and then you will be so embarrassed. Choose the lowly seat, and then let yourself be honored by an invitation to move up higher. What Jesus is saying to them is, don't let yourself become a victim to your pride. It's the same piece of practical advice that Aesop's fable was designed to deliver. If you succumb to pride, Jesus was saying, you can get into some very deep trouble. Don't face the shame of an inelegant social faux pas made by those who think too highly of themselves. But of course, what we have in this gospel is far more than Emily Post-like advice to Pharisees attending dinner parties. As Jesus watched those people arrive at this important man's house with their false assumptions about how fine they were, Jesus was picturing their arrival at another feast. This time, the heavenly banquet, for which they had nothing like the credentials they supposed themselves to have. Jesus judged them to be so self-impressed that they were blind to what really counts in God's scheme of things. That's the danger of pride, the blindness that it causes. It is because it leads to spiritual blindness that pride is listed at the worst of the deadly sins. St. Augustine defined pride as love of one's own excellence. Conversely, humility means being completely honest with ourselves. When we love our own excellence, we are blind to those who are around us, blind to their needs, their pain, and their sensitivities. When we love our own excellence, we are blind to our very real limitations, and we overestimate our competence and our judgments. When we love our own excellence, we are blind to our mistakes and deaf to helpful criticism. When we love our own excellence, we are blind to our sins and fail to repent and seek forgiveness. The sin of pride closes our eyes. And the contrasting virtue, humility, opens them and is therefore to be prized above all virtues. Seamus Heaney, the Irish poet, died 6 years ago this week. He loved to weave references to classical mythology into his poetry. In one of his first poems, he drew upon the myth of Narcissus. Narcissus' parents realized that their son was unnaturally handsome. They sought advice and they were told, never let him see himself. One day, Narcissus was walking in the woods. Echo, a mountain nymph, saw him, fell in love with him, and followed him. Sensing that he was being followed, Narcissus called out, "Who's there?" And she, of course, echoed him, "Who's there?" When at last she revealed herself to him and tried to embrace him, he was so enamored with himself that he refused her advances and told her to leave him alone. Heartbroken, she pined away in the forest until only her echo could be heard. Nemesis, the goddess of revenge, determined to punish Narcissus. And she lured him to a pool where he saw his own reflection. Not realizing that it was only an image, he fell in love with it. Eventually, Narcissus realized his image could not return his love, and distraught, he killed himself. Narcissus' problem was love of his own excellence. Because of it, he missed out on Echo, broke her heart, and he destroyed himself. When you first came to church today, did you bow to the altar and then kneel in your pew in prayer? You were off to a fine, humble start. Did you then pray with me that God would cleanse our thoughts by his Holy Spirit? If so, you are moving right along. Did you listen to Christ's summary of the law, recognize how far we all fall short, and respond, "Lord, have mercy"? If so, the pace was really picking up. Have all of us listened today to God's word read and spoken, opening our hearts to its correction? That's good. Will all of us confess our sins and gratefully receive God's forgiveness? That's a key step. Will you with me lay the bread and the wine upon the altar, acknowledging that everything we have is a gift? Nothing is of our making. And then, once it is blessed, will you receive it back on bended knee and with a grateful heart? Let's use the liturgy as our schoolmaster. It teaches us all the lessons we ever need to know. And the first and the most important lesson is a right and humble judgment about ourselves. Amen.